Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Showers and thunderstorms and partly sunny skies, the high in the lower 60s. It's 50 degrees right now in Nashville. The time is 9 o'clock.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You. Today, among other things, a look at Hugos, Emmys, and Oscars.
Arnie, weren't you nominated for an Oscar?
Yeah.
How'd that turn out?
The question we are most often asked, are your panelists for real? And have they always been that way?
My first roommate in summer school at 13, he said to me, "Do these glasses make me look good?" And I said, "No, but they're an improvement."
Their penchant for wisecracks notwithstanding, these are serious intellects who answer each difficult question with significant scholastic skepticism.
This is an inadequate explanation.
An inadequate explanation.
Francine wants to engage in the appeals process. Where do we take this?
Take it up with the whole Says You gang right after this.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Senate Homeland Security Committee Chairman Joe Lieberman of Connecticut says he's having trouble believing Iran's claims that it's building a copy of a U.S. drone spy plane captured last year.
I don't have confidence at this point that they're really able to make a copy of it. It's a very sophisticated piece of machinery and has served our national security well.
Lieberman speaking there on Fox News Sunday this morning. A top Iranian general is being quoted as saying that Iran has reverse engineered the drone and that experts are recovering data from it. Violence is flaring up in Syria again today despite a 10-day-old ceasefire agreement. Activists say government troops have resumed shelling opposition areas and that a suburb of the capital is under fire. At least two people are reported dead as Special Envoy Kofi Annan urges both sides to work with an expanded team of UN ceasefire monitors. The UN Security Council has decided to send up to 300 more observers. Back in Washington, the spring meetings of the IMF and World Bank are winding down, and as NPR's Sean Itzty reports, the big news out of these meetings is a $430 billion increase in the IMF's crisis fund.
The immediate reason for beefing up the IMF's war chest is Europe's debt crisis. The added funds could be used if countries like Spain and Italy stumble on their way to reform. But some contributors to the fund wanted to make sure the money was not used only in Europe, but would also be available to countries outside the Eurozone who might be hurt by the crisis. After the meeting of the IMF's governing committee, Managing Director Christine Lagarde said the added funds
do not form a special fund or coffers that would have EU label on it. It's for all members of the IMF.
The final communique says the resources are, quote, not earmarked for any particular region. John Itzty, NPR News, Washington.
Greece's prime minister, presumptive, says he'll turn his back on austerity measures and even reverse some of them if he wins an election in 2 weeks. John Syropoulos reports Antonis Samaras vows to rule alone, but poll figures suggest he will have to continue to work with the socialists after the election.
Growth rather than taxes is Antonis Samaras' plan for boosting government revenue and zeroing the deficit. The key, he says, is to restart the shrinking economy. Each point of economic growth would bring $1.3 billion in government revenue. To achieve that, he prescribes a diet for the Greek state. Rather than cut salaries and pensions, as the socialists have done, he would restore some of them and cut waste in the bloated state instead. That would, in theory, fund a 15% flat corporate tax rate, down from 25%, and lower consumer and income taxes. For NPR News, I'm John Saropoulos in Athens.
And you're listening to NPR News from Washington. A pitcher for the Chicago White Sox has achieved one of the rarest feats in professional baseball. He threw a perfect game this weekend. Tom Bonzi of Northwest News Network has the story from Seattle.
29-year-old White Sox pitcher Phil Umber cruised through 9 innings against the Seattle Mariners in a 4-0 Chicago victory. Umber allowed no hits, walked nobody, and faced the bare minimum of 27 opposing batters. In other words, he pitched a perfect game. After the final strikeout in the bottom of the ninth, Umber fell to his knees. Then he was mobbed by his teammates and briefly disappeared under a pig pile. This is only the 21st perfect game in Major League Baseball history. It's all the more remarkable because Umber pitched the complete game after bouncing back from so-called Tommy John surgery on his elbow. For NPR News, I'm Tom Bonsi in Seattle.
Phil Umber's perfect game was the first in the majors in almost 2 years. Philadelphia's Roy Halladay tossed the last one against the Florida Marlins. Bee Gees singer Robin Gibb had been feared to be close to death, but as Larry Miller reports from London, he's woken up from a coma after more than a week and has begun to show signs of recovery.
Gibb's spokesman says the singer is now able to nod and communicate with his family from his London hospital bed. In February, Gibb said he'd made a spectacular recovery from cancer, but then was taken ill with pneumonia. During his coma, his sole surviving brother, Barry Gibb, reportedly sang to him. Gibb's setback prevented him from performing at last week's premiere of his latest work, The Titanic Requiem, a classical piece written to commemorate the ship's sinking. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
And I'm Giles Snyder in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from PBS with Frontline's Money, Power, and Wall Street, an in-depth look at the economic crisis beginning Tuesday at 9 Eastern on PBS.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Concord, Massachusetts comes from the Firebox Barbecue. You like barbecue? So do they. On the web at fireboxbbq.com.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
Thank you. Thank you. From the Emerson Umbrella Center for the Arts in Concord, Massachusetts, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. Though he seldom cracks wise, he always cracks me up. Tony Khan. Despite her penchant for dark humor, she always lights up the room. Francine Akbar. And despite an incredible work ethic, he always comes to play, Mr. Barry Nolan. Who's going to step up this week?
The con man.
Mr. Con.
I am going to do that, yes, yes, yes.
Tony will be the captain. To my left, team two, expect the unexpected, prepare for anything, fear the unknown, from Carolyn Fay Fox. You. You can't predict what she'll come up with, but you'll just love the way she says it, Miss Paula Lyons. And you don't know what you're getting. You won't believe your ears. You'll write in your memoirs about the encounter with Mr. Arnie Reisman. Who's the captain?
The con man will have to meet the fox lady.
That's right.
Carolyn.
Look out.
Look out.
Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin with a round designed to check your Western wisdom. Saddle up, buckaroo, and answer the following roundup riddles.
Questions I expect in Concord, Mass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boogie?
Carolyn, according to the cowboy code, one cowboy does not wave to another cowboy he meets out on the trail. Why is that?
Does not wave.
Because he's got one hand on his gun and the other hand on the reins. And that doesn't leave him with a hand to wave.
You know, that's what I would have said, and that's what I think. But according to the cowboy glossary that I looked in, that's not it. I am going to give you points, though, for that.
There's
because
a cowboy
waving could be misconstrued as a gesture of hostility.
That happens in New York. I There's a specific reason why waving, why that motion in particular, would be.
Does it spook the other guy's horse?
No, but it spooks the other guy's cattle. 10 points. Cattle. Very good.
Ah, thank you, Paula.
Waving.
That's why you don't do it. You you might startle the cattle, start a stampede. Ooh. All kinds
of
things could happen.
Because the cow thinks this is.
That's why you never hear people say, hey, smart, like a cow.
Yeah, exactly. How bovine of you.
All right, Tony.
Yes.
Where might you find a cowboy's jingle bobs?
Sounds good to me.
Jingle bobs? Why, your jingle bobs, you take a left at the whackaroos and you...
I think they're on the jingle, back of the Spurs.
Jingle bobs.
You know something? I hate to cut this short, but she's exactly right. 10 points. Very good. You know what they are, really?
I know this.
They are on the Spurs and are the little pendants dangling from the rowel. Remember
yes.
that one? Or spiked wheel at the heel. And they're simply there to make a pleasant noise.
Yes.
You haven't lived till you had dangling from the rowel.
Yes, dangling from the rowel.
It yeah. calms the cows down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try this one, Arnie. And I give this to you because no one else in the world has a shot at this but you. Try it. What role did William T. Orr, O-R-R, play in fostering the cowboy legend? William T. Orr.
Was that Bronco Billy?
It was not.
Okay, we won't go there. Then.
But there is.
Are we okay? So we're
is
talking.
Is he a writer?
It's not the dime novels about.
No,
the
it's
West.
Not the dime novels. But you're starting to think the you're
okay,
getting there.
Okay, we're talking 19th century.
No, you're actually talking 20th century here.
Did he write songs about
so
it?
It's
no, not songs.
No songs.
I guarantee you have seen his name. Written
yes,
out probably hundreds of times in your lifetime.
Mm, did he invent the stagecoach?
No, nothing. William nothing T. so.
Did he write Hop Along Cassidy?
Well, now you're
the
getting.
Lone okay. Ranger.
Wrote the Lone Ranger. Yeah.
Was Hop Along or Gene Autry show or Roy Rogers?
No.
You're almost there, Paula. Oh, really? You're 7 points there.
Destry Rides Again. I mean, no. I don't know. I remember the name too as a television credit.
That is exactly right. As a television credit, and I'll give you the 10 points for that. Do you know what shows this guy actually did? He was an executive producer for ABC.
Oh.
Do you remember Lawman?
Lawman.
Yeah.
Cheyenne.
Yeah. The Rifleman.
The Rifleman. Maverick, even.
Maverick. That's right.
And all the way up to F Troop, which, as we know, is the greatest achievement of mankind, is F Troop.
With the Fagawi tribe.
Hakawi. The Hakawis, right, yes. That was William T. Orr.
Yeah.
And that was his contribution to cowboy legend. Great. 10 points. Very good. Try this one, Francine. What's the difference between a cowpuncher and a cowboy?
One's a felony.
And the other
cowboy.
One's a fella.
And the other's a misdemeanor? What are we talking about here?
Cowpuncher does the branding.
Yeah, I think that's it. A cowboy is a person who rides the range. And,
and a cowpuncher fixes it.
You know, you're halfway there. A cowboy
the
does ride the range.
And lassoing the cattle and getting them into the chutes and other unpleasantries.
Unpleasantries? No, they...
For the cattle.
They enjoy it, actually.
A cowboy works on a ranch, is associated with a ranch?
No. The cowboy does ride the range.
Yes.
That's
and he gets the cattle from one grazing ground to another.
Yeah, that's the 6 points that you get. So that's for that part of it.
The ones who basically administer to the cattle when they're not on the range, you know, takes care of their correspondence, rubs them down, counts their...
Give them an extra point for the correspondence. I happen to like the correspondence angle. Anybody else want to take a shot at this?
Have anything to do with branding?
Does the cowpuncher work on branding? Is Tony?
Yes, they do, but there's a reason why. The real reason is geography.
Oh.
A cowpuncher is a cowboy from Texas, primarily, and a cowboy rides the open range, mainly in Colorado, Montana, Wyoming, and Alberta. Now, that's what we got from our source.
This is an inadequate explanation.
An inadequate explanation.
A cowpuncher is from Texas?
Well,
because what other than being in Texas makes you a cowpuncher?
I don't know. That's
Who's
what we got.
Who's to say you couldn't be a cowpuncher in the Chicago stockyards?
Because then you wouldn't be a cowpuncher. You're not from Texas.
Right. Nah, Francine wants to engage in the appeals process. Where do we take this?
Well, thank God that this is a benevolent despotism then. Paula, when a cowboy says, "Get along, little dogie," who is he talking to?
He's talking to a calf.
Can you be any more specific?
Well, what they said on our cattle drive.
Yes, yes.
Get on, little dogie, and they were talking about the small, they were just pushing the cattle along. Is the dogie a male or a female or something?
No, it's, you know, you're 9 points there. It's just one other little element involved.
Unbranded, not part of the flock?
Not part of the, you know what, I'll give you the 10 points for that. It is motherless.
Yeah.
A weak or motherless calf. Well, I guess any calf that is motherless would consequently be weak. And finally, Barry, I loved finding this one out. The Bluebell Bib Overalls Company hired Hopalong Cassidy, along with several others, as consultants in 1947. What issue might they have addressed, and what was the result? The Bluebell Bib Overalls Company. They hired Hopalong Cassidy and some others.
Well, he
to and they, black, Hopalong Cassidy.
Yep. And what was the result of this, and what issue did they address?
Is there an ointment for chaps?
He's closer than you realize.
Actually, 1947, Richard, they wanted to know if he was a member of the Communist Party, I think.
Boy, that's the...
1947, that's the truth. Blue jeans.
Yes.
The Dr. Denton
just coming
blue
back
jean.
In, and what is the right cut?
Well,
for,
you know, you're a long way.
For the cowboy look.
Well, Wrangler jeans
Wrangler,
came out of this. They really came out of this, and specifically... fitted for horseback riding. Can you imagine what the change was that they may have made? And all I can tell you is you're going to wince when you hear this.
They wanted to let something out, right?
You needed more room.
Is this something to do with the fly?
It has everything to do
buttons
with the
buttons versus zippers.
In your
10 points is very... That's excellent, Francine.
You have to let out your jingle bobs.
Yeah. According to our source, that was the first zippers to replace buttons that, quote, always got snagged, unquote. Yes. My sentiments exactly, ladies and gentlemen. So I think we've learned about as much about cowboys as we want to learn for this evening, don't you?
Yeah.
Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends Harmonious Whale. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Carolyn, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The others have cards that say, "Please bluff." Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Tony's team. 10 points are up for grabs to Tony if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Carolyn, if he can't. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word bratticing. B-R-A-T-T-I-C-I-N-G. Bratticing. Folks?
He's old. He's six. He speaks his mind and he plays tricks. He tells his mom that God is a chick. He's old. He's six. He's tough. Like bricks. He likes to get in there and mix. He'll stand his ground and he'll take his licks. He's tough. He's six. Shouts. Dan, I'm freaking out. sticks. Nothing he won't do to get a sugar fix. He's wild.
Support for Says You has always come from Parsons Audio. Professional audio sales, system design, service, and support. On the web at paudio.com. Hi, this is Richard. I just want to take a moment and thank all the folks who joined the fund with us this year and sold out shows from coast to coast. Details for next season's taping will be up soon on the website at sayu.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. Where if you just follow that Join the Fun link, we'll show you how to join the fun. So whether you're in Nashville or New England, North or South, we hope you'll be able to come be in our audience next season for a live performance of Says You. Says You returns after this from home.
Beautiful dream.
Actor Jack Black is best known for his comic bombastic roles in films like The School of Rock and Nacho Libre. In the new film Bernie, he plays a kindly small-town funeral director who murders a wealthy millionaire widow he had befriended. It's based on a true story. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Jack Black. Join us.
Weekdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m.
Awake to my song.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. A former Dartmouth frat boy blows the whistle on what he says is the abuse of hazing. Now he's being shunned, but some colleges are cutting back on pledging. Also, a move to require cat owners to leash them. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture here and now.
Weekdays at noon.
Support for our programming on WPLN is made possible in part by the generous support of Nashville Public Radio members. You can join our community of supporters by making a tax-deductible contribution online at WPLN.org.
Nothing he won't do to get a sugar fix. He's wild. He's sick. He's tough. He's sick. He's old. He's sick.
That is Harmonious Whale. That is Tom Wasselchuk on the guitar, Matt Rogers on the bass, Maggie Delaney Potoff vocals, and Sims Delaney Potoff on the mandolin. This gives us a chance to thank our scorekeepers for this game. That's Marcel Oliart and Ben Scherer. Thanks, guys, for keeping the score again this week. We have had a few moments with the word bratising. We will go first to Carolyn Fay Fox.
Bratising comes to us from the world of darts.
Darts.
Because bratising would be any trick or showy move, as in throwing darts over your shoulder backward, would be bratising.
Showy darts move is bratising.
Mm-hmm.
Showing off playing darts. Someone winds up with a dart in the old forehead. It was the result of bratising.
Yes.
Could be that. Or Arnie, something else.
I guess there's a continuation of the Western theme because it's simply cattle midwifery.
Hmm? What?
Or
midwifery.
Sorry.
Midwifery.
Cattle midwifery.
What's the first word?
Cattle.
Cattle.
Human assistance. With birthing a cow.
Or calf, more likely.
Or calf, yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, because to give...
Tragically a dogie, maybe.
Or maybe even a dogie. It depends how bad the assistance is, yeah.
Yuck.
There's the image that I'm going to see just before I go to sleep tonight.
That's right.
I'm glad it's you.
Yeah. Cattle midwifery is what you think it is. It could be that. Or something else. Paula, what say you?
Oh, bratticing, latticing, bracketing, it's kind of all the same. It's it's building a temporary surround, like a wooden fence around a temporary site, like a construction site.
Bratticing. You put up the bratticing, keep people out. Temporary fencing, wooden fencing, you put it around there. That could be it.
Okay.
It could be cattle midwifery or showy darts move, something along those lines. It's one of those three, believe it or not. And, Tony, the choice is yours.
Well, first of all, I'd like to express my relief that it's not bratwurst frosting.
Yeah.
Somehow I just thought one of them was going to go there. But they didn't, so bully for them. Speaking of bully for them, I do not want to have anything to do with answer number two, cattle birthing. Building a temporary fencing, again, it's like one of those word definitions that just wouldn't appeal to Richard, who's looking for meaty material, you know, for a definition.
I was going right to it, then.
Yep, yep.
So that, unfortunately, folks, leaves us with only one choice, showy dart maneuver, throwing it over your shoulder backwards. I know that that is done. I thought that was just simply drunken behavior, but apparently apparently there could be a term for it, and that's bratticing.
I go with Francine. I think it's the building a temporary surround.
I'm glad you guys really like each other.
Yes.
That you're seated next to each other, but as the captain.
Yes. Oh.
I must, unfortunately, go with my bratwurst.
Your twisted
my twisted sense of judgment. I think it's the darts.
All right.
Let it be on me. Let it be on me. I think it's the darts.
Okay.
Well, Carolyn, it's on Tony. He has boldly stepped forward, exercised his captain's prerogative, and said that bratticing is a showy darts move. Is that, in fact, what it is?
I'm so fond of Tony. Bratticing, please bluff.
That was a bluff.
I'm so sorry.
All right, audience, what do you think? Paula, I think the audience is going for the temporary fencing around something. Is that what bratticing is?
That is what bratticing is.
All right.
Okay.
Good job, audience.
I am so humbled.
The definition actually reads,
welcome
temporary
to
wooden fencing as that built around a construction site.
Is bratticing. 10 points for Carolyn's team.
It's on you, Tone.
George Bloom of Hyde Park, Vermont, listens to Says You courtesy of Vermont Public Radio. Thanks, folks. Longtime friends. He gives us a round titled Joint Ventures. Each looked-for word has a familiar joint word in common usage. How many of the five joint words does it take for the panel to find out what the bluffing word is? Okay? Can you try this one out?
With an example?
No.
For instance, if I said lace, okay,
yeah.
Or if I said horse, the key word is shoe. Mm-hmm. It can go with either shoelace, okay. Horseshoe, anything along those lines.
Got it. Thank you, Richard.
Okay.
All right.
Wonderful.
All right.
Keep going.
So try this out. See how it goes.
Okay.
Carolyn, goat.
Goat.
G-O-A-T. Goat.
Milk.
Goat milk. No, unfortunately. You'll goat. Know that's true because to goat we're going to add lion.
Lying?
Lion. L-I-O-N. What word would go with goat,
goat and
lion?
Goat, herd. Goat, herd, goat. No, it's a pride of lions.
A pride of lions, that's right.
Goat.
Lion. Goat. There's no lion cheese.
Get your goat.
Or lion.
It's just
cheese.
Very hard to get.
Yeah.
Very. Curdles immediately.
Get your goat, get your lion. No, mm-hmm. I don't
caught your lions, got your
okay.
Goat.
Okay.
To goat and lion add peak, P-E-A-K.
Peak.
Mountain lion.
Remember, the word can go before or after.
Yeah.
Peak moment, goat moment.
No.
Lion moment.
Pike's Peak.
Peak Pike experience, Gold. Goat experience.
The other side always gets it first. The other side has it.
Okay, got another quote.
And to goat, lion, and peak add pass.
Mountain lion, mountain goat, mountain peak, pass. Mountain.
That's what it is. Mountain. 4 points. Oh, that's what God. You're doing.
Oh, it's like goat, mountain we were lion. Thinking too hard.
We were thinking too hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember, the word can go before or after. You
yeah,
don't know until you figure it out.
And it can be easier than you thought it was.
Yes.
Try this one, Tony. Mm-hmm. Paper. P-A-P-E-R. Paper.
Trail.
Ooh, what a wonder. Paper trail. If that's not a sign of the times, I don't know what is.
Fly.
No.
Cut.
Oh, fly paper. That's great.
Cut. Now, that's a good one, too.
To paper add feather.
Oh, got oh, it. Yeah. We got it.
Feather.
Other side always.
Yeah. Feather. Fly feather. Feather weight. Paper weight. Yeah. Wait.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That is correct. Eight, 7 points for that. It's paper weight, feather weight. You did not need penny or right. counter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Try this one, Arnie. Mm. Bar. B-A-R.
Mm. Barfly.
Room.
Barbell. Rebar.
Candy.
These are all good guesses.
Okay. Menu. Yeah.
To bar, add man, M-A-N.
Man Bill.
This is the hardest one of them all, so man this is bar. This one's tough.
Man bar and
pass
man.
The bar, pass the man. No,
pass the man, man. Right. To bar and man add cowboy.
Cowboy, candy bar, candy man, candy cowboy.
Cowboy. not a car. Bar stool. Man, no, no, cowboy. Bar, stool. No.
No, don't go there.
Cowboy stew.
And to what? Bar, man, and cowboy add capsule.
Time?
Time.
No.
No.
Time capsule, slow release capsule.
Slow release cowboy.
Time cowboy.
Capsule.
Space capsule, space bar.
Space man, space cowboy.
Yeah, he got it.
Space
very good.
Man.
Space
cowboy.
Space
cowboy. Space cowboy. Oh, space.
Space man, space bar, space cowboy, and space capsule. That's exactly right. 4 points. Try this one for insane. Year. Y-E-A-R. Year.
Ling.
Light.
Light. Light.
I don't believe you picked that one up. Good. Light year is correct. You didn't need weight, exercise, or source. You
or
got
buzz.
It. You got it right on the first one. Light Woo-hoo! Year. Holy mackerel. Paula, try this one. War. W-A-R, war.
Price.
Price
is
war?
What you said.
Oh, price. No, that's a good guess.
Warlord.
Lord.
No. To war, add defense.
Mechanism.
Department of.
Yeah. Spending.
Wartime. War crime. Defense. Civil.
Civil.
Civil, civil is exactly right.
Very good.
Right.
Nice job.
Yay.
7 points.
Good.
Civil war, civil defense, civil rights, and civil discourse you did not need. And finally, Barry, try this one. Top, T-O-P.
Chef.
Oh, what a great guess.
That's spin.
Not, that's not correct. No?
Carrot. Carrot top.
Carrot top, no. To top add freak.
Out.
F-R-E-A-K.
Out.
Circuit, top circuit.
Top out.
Circus
that's
top.
A thing no. you do with circus, yeah. building.
Oh, that's right. It is a top out.
Top
freak out, no.
Okay.
Top and freak. To top and freak add room.
Top. Freak room.
Show.
Show freak.
It's show freak.
Show.
Freak show. Showroom.
And Top Show. Show Top.
Top Show.
Show Top.
It's a Top Show.
I'm not going to let you do it.
How about,
Tree? Tree Freak.
Yeah, Tree Freak. And to Top Freak and Room add Tower.
Tower Bell Freak. Bell Tower. Tower.
I don't think they're going to get this one.
Not.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Tower.
You got it, Arnie?
Freak. No, I just said, oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Nobody knows. I'll go to the audience. Audience? Control.
Oh. Control.
Control Top.
Control Top.
I don't know why I didn't get that.
Control Top. Control Top, Control Freak, Control Room, and Control Tower is the way to go on that.
That's why I didn't get it.
Nice job, you guys. Let's go on to round four, which is Tony's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff 10 points. Carolyn, if your team can find the rose among thorns, take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word asteism.
Asteism.
A-S-T-E-I-S-M. Asteism. Folks?
I know things that come or things that go.
When is Says You coming to our town? Where can I find old shows? Who played that music I heard last week? So many questions, all answered on our website at SaysYou.net. There you can find tickets to tapings, Dally on the Daily Dispatch, or access our complete archive. You can contribute a question to the show and absorb ridicule on a national scale. This and more at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou. Briefly, SaysYou pauses. Just long enough for a few interstitial announcements. We'll be right back.
Egyptians elect a president next month for the first time since Arab Spring, and it is already a messy affair. Election officials banned nearly half of the candidates, including the top three contenders, who are promising they're not going to go quietly. I'm John Donvan. Egypt's difficult path toward democracy. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Weekday afternoons from 1 until 3.
Hello again, I'm Warren Olney. Next time on To the Point, French President Nicolas Sarkozy has become a major player in NATO and Europe's financial crisis. Will voters give him a second term? Would his socialist opposition make a difference in relations with the United States? Next time on To the Point from Public Radio International.
Weeknights at 8 o'clock. Support for Says You and WPLN comes from WPLN listener members and from South Walton, Florida, presenting the 24th Arts Quest Fine Arts and Music Festival, May 10th through 13th. More information available online at visitsouthwalton.com.
harmonious whale. Thank you so much, you guys, for giving us a little time with the word asteism. We will go first to Tony Khan.
Well, this asteism is a word that definitely was a part of the charm of an old friend of mine and of Arnie's and Paula's named Jane, who, when she would look at my lovely but not terribly bright dog, I would say to her, "Doesn't he have a lovely head, Jane?" And she would say, "Oh, yes, and this is just where his brain would go."
She would.
And asteism, or like when I said to my first roommate in summer school at 13, he said to me, "Do these glasses make me look good?" And I said, "No, but they're an improvement." And asteism is an ingeniously polite put-down.
An ingeniously polite put-down. Could be. Or Francine, something else.
Asteism is a religious practice, and it is the attributing of supernatural powers to things in nature, like Stonehenge.
Attributing supernatural powers.
Can you say that again in English?
The worship of natural phenomena.
Thank you.
The worship of natural phenomena.
That wasn't so hard, now was it?
It is the worship of natural phenomenon. That's what you say it is.
Yes.
Barry, what's your take?
Francine is a really good bluffer, because what I have written on my card is asteism is the belief in a nature god.
Basically the same thing.
Basically the same thing. It's the, and I had as an example when the aging hippies said, "Do you think the Grand Canyon makes my asteism look good?" Yeah.
That's a half-assedism.
Improves with corrective lenses.
Moving right along. It is either, well, Barry says it's the belief in a nature god, in a god of nature, which is pretty close to what Francine says.
Yeah.
Francine says it's the worship of nature, whereas Tony says it's just an ingenious put-down. It's one of those three. Carolyn, choose up.
Well, team, what do we think?
Well, I think it's one of... It's not Tony.
Okay.
That's what I think.
All right.
I think it is something to do with nature and religion. Now, the question is, which one of those two? Yep. Do you guys talk to each other? I mean...
Only for 15 years.
I see.
All right, I'll vote for Barry.
Will you?
Yeah.
Isn't pantheism worshiping nature?
Yeah.
Yeah. Believing in inanimate things? Is that what you're worshiping?
No, worship of natural phenomena.
Natural phenomena.
Your choice, Carolyn.
I think I'm going with Barry also.
You're going with Barry?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go with Francine then.
Okay.
All right.
You're the captain.
Your choice.
I think I've just been been choosing Barry, so I'm going to choose Francine this time around.
Okay. Francine, Carolyn has chosen you. She says that asteism is a worship of natural phenomenon. Is that in fact what it is?
It's so rare that Carolyn chooses anything that I have to say.
Yeah.
And on this occasion, she has made an error.
Yeah.
Please fake a definition.
10 Barry. Points for your team. Nice
to the
job.
Club.
All right, audience, what do you think? Boy, that is a pretty split audience. I don't know. We're just going to have to find out. One of you was telling the truth. Who was it?
Now they know.
Oh, no kidding.
Now they notice I'm here.
An ingenious put down. Wow.
Our friend Jane also, she was a constant source of great quotes. And perhaps my favorite of hers was, "Gee, Tony," she said, "how time flies when I do the talking." Asteism, an ingeniously polite insult.
That's what
it
is.
Word.
10
that is
points.
A wonderful word.
Asteism.
For Tony's Day.
Excellent. Great.
This week's Spotlight Round comes at the urging of Marcus Miller of Manchester, New Hampshire. Marcus writes, "A round I remember, probably because I did so well on it, featured locations named for people or things. It had to be back in the early days because I was still a student in Boston. Can you repeat my success and find that round?" Well, Marcus, we think it's this one from season two, the day when Flash Wiley joined the panel to play a round of eponymous geography. Please tell me where I might find the following locations that are named for people.
Oh.
Carolyn.
Oh, yeah.
The Straits of Magellan.
It is, I'm thinking about the Strait, Gibraltar, what am I thinking?
No, Cape Horn. The Straits of Magellan are down at the bottom of South America, between South America and Antarctica.
They are indeed.
Thank you, Paul.
At Cape Horn, down near Patagonia, Tierra del Fuego, all that kind of stuff, the straits running through. 10 points, very good. Flash, Franz Josef Land.
Franz Joseph.
Well, he was the Austro-Hungarian emperor.
Lawrence Welk's birthday.
This has nothing to do with Austria, believe me.
Well,
Franz
split up
Joseph
into
Land.
Romania.
Yeah.
No,
Franz
this is Joseph a tough Land. One. You
this
know
is a tough
know.
One. Let's try the Arctic somewhere.
No.
Well,
really?
10 points. It is exactly in the Arctic. It is above Russia, above Novaya Zemlya, if you know where that is.
Gorbas.
The second luckiest guess in the history of Central America.
Yes.
Arnie, you're the only one that's got a chance on this one. Diego Garcia.
Is this in the Pacific?
Oh. The only reason I thought you would know this is because of its importance to NASA.
Really? Is that where it is, huh?
It's in
space.
No, it is not, actually.
It's not even there. It's near Cape Canaveral. No, it's
in Cuba.
It is one of those rare archipelago. It's actually an island in the center of the Indian Ocean. When you need to track satellites, they must go over Diego Garcia. And I thought Arnie would know it for that reason. Smack in the middle of the Indian Ocean, there isn't anything around Diego Garcia.
All right. This is what I'm waiting for.
Francine Birdland.
Birdland.
It's a jazz club.
It is, in fact.
Yep.
Harlem. Go for the street.
Oh.
It's actually 52nd Street. I'm asking the band, 52nd Street?
That's what I said, the 52nd Street Village.
52nd Street in New York. But New York is good.
That's
for
right.
10 points. Paula, the Islets of Langerhans.
Oh, that's in it.
That's
wait
mean.
A minute.
The Islets of Langerhans are in your body.
I know they're in my body, but now I'm wondering, now that's not the inner ear ones. That's the...
No, not in the inner ear.
In what?
They're below. They're somewhere around your
pancreas
spleen and liver.
Or spleen
and
or something?
And
where are they?
That's exactly where they are. They're in the pancreas. Good. Very good. They are in the pancreas.
All right. What was
in the pancreas.
Answer?
And finally, Tony, the Hadley... Rill, H-A-D-L-E-Y-R-I-L-L-E.
Hadley Rill.
Reed.
The Hadley Rill. Is it on the moon?
It is indeed on the moon. 10 points. That's our spotlight round for this week. If there's a memorable moment you haven't heard in years, let us know. We'll send our crack staff into the archives and do our best to find your favorite. You can register your choice at sayu.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. That's our look back. Now, back to the present. Let's close tonight. A suggestion from Jameson Cobley of Ashland, Massachusetts, who hears us on WGBH-FM here in Boston. Ah, fans of GBH. There are many awards that are given each year. Given an award, describe for what it is given and how it got its name. For example, on the arcane side, you have the Abel Prize in Mathematics, named, of course, for Niels Henrik Abel. I didn't know that. A Norwegian mathematician who proved the impossibility of solving the quintic equation in radicals.
Oh, him.
Yeah.
Oh, that. But of course.
Okay. That was a musical, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. A beautiful mime. All right, let's try this. We'll give you some ones and tell us first what it's for. That'll be easy. And how it got its name. Carolyn, start with Oscar.
Oh. There's so much dispute about that one.
It wasn't somebody... Go ahead.
What it's for?
What is it for, and how did it get the name?
It's for performance in a film.
Well, a little more than that.
Or some other aspect of a film.
Yeah. Arnie, weren't you nominated for an Oscar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd that turn out?
Yeah.
I'm still waiting.
But, you know, it's really nice to get the nomination.
It's just an honor to be nominated.
It's in the works.
Is it apocryphal, or is it actual? When they created the statue, someone looked at it and said, it reminds me of my Uncle Oscar.
Well,
that's one story,
and in fact, though it's good enough, it's probably not true, but everyone accepts it as being true.
And they, it's the Oscars, Betty Davis, right?
Yeah, yeah. It is recognized as excellent in film, and one says it was the Academy's executive secretary, Margaret Herrick, who first saw the thing and said it reminded her of her Uncle Oscar. And another theory says it was named by Betty Davis, who reportedly named it after her ex-husband, Harmon Oscar Nelson Jr. So that's you've got both of them. Very good. 10 points. Try this one, Tony.
Her nickname for him is also Jingle Bobs.
Never going to let that one go.
I think he's got a little play left.
I think one more time,
not
then
much,
we're done.
Not
yeah,
much.
Pretty much. Tony, the Hugo.
Well, the Hugo is a science fiction award for the best science fiction, either long form or short form.
That's 5 points.
Work that year. And let's see. Dare I say it was named after somebody named Hugo?
It was, in fact.
Okay. And would it be fair to say that was his first name?
That would be fair.
And would that be enough?
Sure. That's moving right along.
No idea.
You have no idea where
no,
it came
I don't
from?
Know.
Anybody
Who's
else?
Hugo's
Anyone know it in the audience?
Gernreich.
That is exactly Boop. Right.
Yeah.
Gernsback, actually.
Gernsback?
Gernsback?
Yeah,
the
founder of Amazing Stories, that scientific
magazine.
Publisher,
editor?
Science fiction magazine.
Oh, okay.
Try this one, Arnie. The Whizzer White Award.
The Whizzer White Award?
Oh. Yes.
Are we talking football?
It is.
And we're talking Byron Whizzer White.
We are.
Who played for Colorado University before he ended up on the Supreme Court of the United States.
He sure did. Boy, you're tearing this one to shreds.
How much do we want? What more do you want?
What's it for?
What's it given for?
Huh?
What's it given for?
It's given for the fact of he retied the football with the lace. No.
You know, I'm going to give you the 10 points no matter what. I mean, just for knowing that it was Byron Raymond Whizzer White, who played for Colorado and became a Supreme Court justice.
Okay.
But can you imagine what the award would therefore be?
He was a good runner, but it's got nothing to do with actually playing the game.
No,
that's what I'm assuming.
Not.
Really?
It's not for running the wrong way or anything.
No,
like that.
No. Not him.
Well, you know, I'm going to give you the 10 points just for knowing all the information.
Just because we got that far.
Anyone up there want to help out?
Does it have to do with academic achievement?
Not really. Not academic achievement. Anyone know in the audience? Community service.
Community service.
It is given in the NFL to the player who best serves his team, community, and country in the spirit of Justice White. Hmm. All right, Francine, I know you'll know what this is, but see if you can tell me how it got the name, the Tony.
Oh, yeah.
The Tony is given for Broadway achievement.
Yes.
It is named for Antoinette Perry.
Yes.
But I don't remember who she is.
But you know what? No, well, knowing that it was Antoinette Perry, you know what?
A
10
long
points.
Way there.
Yeah, that's going to be. She's the
She's a critic.
No, the co-founder of the American Theater Wing.
Yeah, and from my high school.
You're kidding, really?
No.
What high school?
Well, this is now you're going to know why I know the one before it. East Denver.
Oh, East Denver High School.
East Denver High.
All right. Try this one, Paula. The Darwin Award.
Oh.
Yes.
You want me to go or what?
The Darwin Award. I know I'm supposed to know it. And
yes.
I mean,
the most ridiculous form of leaving the planet.
Oh, yes.
Named,
right.
Of course, for
Named, of course, for Charles Darwin.
Because it was survival of the fittest.
Yes, sir. Right. 10 points. Very good, you guys. It was... it salutes the improvement of the human genome by honoring those who accidentally removed themselves from it.
In a truly thoughtless way, usually in an attempt to eliminate someone else in the process.
Right.
Like the South African woman who ignored the glaring signage and unchallenged warnings and went for her third swim of the day in the crocodile-infested Limpopo River.
Yes, that one.
And finally, Barry, I know this. You'll know what this is. The Emmy.
The Emmy Award is an award given in television for achievement in a variety of ways.
Yes, it is.
Would it be an acronym?
No.
It is not an acronym.
No?
Do you actually know this, Arnie?
Oh, yeah. I had to do a whole piece on this.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'll let Arnie take my guess.
Well, you know, in terms of points, you can't get enough points. Give them 5 points for knowing what it is. Arnie, you want to field this one?
It's an Imicron tube, isn't it?
It's the image orthicon tube, yes.
The tube inside the camera, the live camera, and they just named it, which was called an Emmy. And they made it Emmy, actually.
Yes, that's exactly right, Arnie. Very good. That's some real arcane stuff.
That was going to be my next guest.
Yeah, I understand that.
All because one day at Channel 5, they said, hey, why don't we ever do a story about what is an Emmy?
That's what it is, named after the image orthicon tube, which they called the Emmy and then changed it to the Emmy. Arnie, that was just a great addition to this, and it really caps off a good day for you guys. 85 points, Carolyn, winners this week. Congratulations. Yes, sir. That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Kerry Flood, Jules Fisk, and all the folks here at the Emerson Umbrella Center for the Arts. Scher and Salk and other writers, Antonio Oliart mans the meters, and Zach Moore is the associate producer and webmaster. Once every few weeks, we remind you that this show is best when we get your questions, when we get your comments, and most of all, when you show up. Thank you, Concord Mass, for showing up. See you next week.
You can hear Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high-quality copies available. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You, created and produced by Pippin and Finch. Busted.
And celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, 91.7 WHRS Cokeville. You can find a complete schedule of all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 2 minutes before 10 o'clock. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, the broadcast of Studio 360.
Goodwill Industries of Middle Tennessee has 17 career solution centers throughout Middle and West Tennessee that provide job training, job search, and computer skills for thousands of Tennesseans each year. Career counselors partner with employers to identify job-ready candidates prepared to enter the workforce. These services are provided thanks to generous donors who give gently used items, which are in turn sold at one of 30 retail stores in the 46 counties served by Goodwill. Learn more at goodwillcareersolutions.org.
On the next On Being, a hidden realm of American religious history. The Lakota Sioux leader Sitting Bull is cast in history books as a celebrity warrior, the man who defeated Custer. But his spiritual legacy is a force for identity among the living now. We speak with Sitting Bull's great-grandson in the Black Hills of South Dakota. I'm Krista Tippett. Please join me from APM.
Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock.
Nashville weather for today, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms with mostly cloudy skies and the high in the lower 60s. And for tonight, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly clear with the low in the upper 30s. And Monday tomorrow, mostly sunny skies and the high near 60 degrees. Right now it's 53 degrees in Nashville and partly cloudy skies.